Hello, welcome everybody. My name is Paul Martinelli. I want to welcome all those people who are just joined us on this call via the internet. If you are one of our team members and you are online and you can hear me, go ahead and post on our team Facebook page so I know that you guys can hear me and I know that the system is working without a flaw. Just want to make sure that we are good to go. We're testing all the systems now and everything looks great. I know we've got hundreds of people already on the line, on the phone line, and this system gives us a delay before we can bring in the online people. So right now we should be joined by probably more than a couple of thousand people right now online. So if you are online and you can hear me okay online, go ahead and just post on the team Facebook. Oh, there, now my Facebook page is lighting up saying we can hear you. Well, welcome everybody. My name is Paul Martinelli. I'm honored to be with you tonight. On behalf of John Maxwell, our entire team, and the coach who has invited you to this unique opportunity, welcome. This truly is a unique opportunity. The coach who has invited you has been trained by John and his team, certified to teach John's material. And on the eve of the launch of what will surely be another one of John's top-selling books, your coach has arranged for you to be able to have some private time with the author to study the 15 invaluable laws of growth. I think this is book number 73 for John. I'm not sure. We'll ask him when he joins in on the call. But John has sold over 20 million books. He's the number six all-time seller on Amazon.com. He's spoken all over the world and delivers presentations to Fortune 500 companies, National Football League, United States Military Academy at West Point. And I think John's highest credential, if we had him on the line right now, he would say that his highest credential is that he's your friend. I am John, and I'm your friend. If you've ever seen John speak, that's how he begins all of his talks, because that's what comes right from his heart. And the coach who's with you here tonight has been working closely with John and his team to bring to you this study tonight. We're going to go ahead and study the first two laws, and then we're going to talk to you about how you can work with the coach who's invited you onto the call and onto the online system to be able to have access to all the material that John's created for this program, for you to be able to work directly with one of his certified coaches. So we are really excited. You know, tonight we will probably have people from about 52 different countries. An exciting thing is, as we were preparing for this call about 2 weeks ago, we had a big team call, and obviously we're excited for tonight's call. We had some of our members calling in from India who said that they'll be joining in at the call at 5 o'clock in the morning their time, having breakfast. They're going to do a big breakfast meeting. So to our friends in India who are joining us right now, we wish we were having breakfast with you. Great to have you guys on the call, and literally team members from all over the world. And we're just excited. We're excited that you have an opportunity to be with one of John's coaches, that you have this opportunity, again, on the eve of the launch of what will be a number one book, to be able to have this private time with the author, even before it gets really launched anywhere else in the world. John wanted to bring it to his coaches first, and because you're associated with John, and the power of association that your coach has with John, and the connection that they have with the John Maxwell team, and that credibility, you've been invited to learn directly from John. So for some of you, this may be your first time studying with John, and if it is, you're in for a really treat, a really big treat. For some of you, I know that maybe you've heard John speak before, so you know what you're in for. You know it's going to be fun, educational. We are going to be able to take some questions that you'll be able to post right to our Facebook page. Your coach, if they're online, will have access to a team Facebook page that we're kind of communicating with right now, and they'll be able to post questions from your group from all over the world. John will be joining us right at the top of the hour, and I just got a post from one of our from our team member here, Thomas in Thailand. It's 6:50 in the morning on Wednesday morning. Hey, Thomas, I see you there. So it's great to see I see Dave there in North Dakota. That's fantastic. Great to Romania's checking in. Fort Collins, Colorado. From Singapore, I see Paul. How are you doing? So we've got our team members from all over the world. We've been planning this for a while. We knew in August that this book was going to be coming out. And when John was leading all of our coaches in a training here in Palm Beach County, Florida, back in August, this idea was hatched that we would do a launch with John, and John would come in and do this, and have spent some time with the coaches. And so the coach who's with you tonight will be able to carry the ball from tonight's meeting and bring to you and really bring to you this book in a meaningful way. You know, one of the first, I guess, personal growth books I ever read was the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And after studying 500 of surely the most successful people, he studied and worked with Edison, Ford, Rockefeller, the Wright brothers, Alexander Graham Bell. He found that there were about 13 principles to success, and each one of those principles is a chapter in the book. And one of the chapters is called The Mastermind. It is where like-minded people, goal-oriented people, growth-oriented people come together for a specific purpose of challenging each other, supporting each other, holding each other accountable, and growing. And so it's in that spirit that we bring to you this phenomenal book that John is releasing today, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, and an opportunity for you to study with somebody who's been trained and is certified by John and his team. And what better way to start, really, if you think about it, than having the author live on the call. So John's had a busy year. Pensacola, we started this year in Pensacola in January with about 5,000 people at a big public seminar in Pensacola, Florida. In May, this team, the coach that you're with, the team that they're part of, one of the certified coaches, we led a youth leadership week called Youth Max, reaching out to over 90,000 young people all over the world for free, teaching them lessons on character and anti-bullying. Then in June, John led a seminar on A Day About Books, on how he writes books and how people who wanted to learn how to write books. It was a phenomenal day. John was joined by one of the top publishers in the world, Michael Hyatt, as well as one of his members of his writing team, John's writing team, Charlie Wetzel. It was a just loaded day, full of just really good stuff on blogging, on book writing, on being able to transform the lives of other people through the written word. And it was just a really powerful day. And for those of you who will stay with us all the way through the call, before we go to some question and answers, I'll talk to you about how you will be able to have access to that very seminar. We had about 750 people from all over the United States come in, and we had about 16 different countries were represented at that seminar, and it was held at the Palm Beach County Convention Center. It was the first and only time John has ever done a seminar on writing, and we professionally filmed that seminar. And so for those of you who are on the line and you stay with us towards the end of the call, I'm going to give you some information on how you can have access to that, as well as being able to work with your coach to study the other 13 laws that we will not cover tonight. We're going to cover the first two laws. And John will be with us right at the top of the hour. We are really excited for all of you. Our team has worked really hard. The coach who is with you, one of John's certified trainers, we've been planning this day, as I said, since August. Just very excited. On our Facebook team page, I'm seeing pictures coming in from groups literally from all over. I see Boston and North Carolina. Again, our team is just really excited you're here, and I know that John is too. For John to be taking the launch of his book, he could be doing this with any other group of people, and he decided to his coaches. He wanted to empower his coaches to bring it into their communities and to work with them. States, I think then Canada, Trinidad, Little Rock. I can see you all on the Facebook page, Washington State. Great to have you guys all on the call. We're going to get started here in about 3 minutes. I really encourage you to have a pad of paper and a pen to be able to take some notes during this call. Whenever John, I was just with John in Winnipeg, Canada. I had an opportunity to be with him there for a couple of days. And John was teaching on his five levels of leadership. And, you know, I've heard John teach that many times. And yet I still probably took 4 or 5 pages of notes on something that I've heard him speak about many different times. So you're definitely going to want to be able to be prepared for this growth environment that you stepped into tonight. We are really excited. I see Milwaukee right on. Great to have you guys here. As all of our coaches from all over the world are beginning to post on our team Facebook pages. And for those of you who are with a coach and you're seeing a family come together tonight and really celebrate something that's really special. The launch of this book is really exciting for all of us, and it's going to be really valuable to you. It's going to be something that's really valuable to you. You know, this is going to be something meaningful for you that you're going to be able to use not only in your personal life, you're going to be able to use it in your professional life, in your faith-based communities. This information is going to, for some of you, it's going to be the key that unlocks a door that will lead you on to a fertile field of possibility that you didn't know existed. For others, those of you who may have been students of personal growth and development for a while now, you're going to find the very wisdom that John brings in just everyday language, his ability to communicate, his ability to connect, it's going to be sharpening the saw for you, and is really going to be able to bring it alive. Hundreds of people on the call. We've got even more than that on the online community. I can see on our dashboard now more people logging into the website. So we're really excited. We're going to get started here in about 2 minutes. I'll bring John on. And again, towards the end of this call, after John's done teaching, we're going to go ahead and allow those people who would like to ask some questions to be able to log right onto our team Facebook pages, and you'll be able to post a question on the team Facebook page that I'll read, and we'll be able to go ahead and have John answer. Just cannot open up the lines. There's just too many people, and we risk the static and noise. We are recording this call, and this call will be ready for playback, I'm told, within 60 minutes of the call. You'll be able to log right back onto the online website, and the same platform that we're on the call right now, you'll be able to access this call again. So for our coaches, I know that some of you may want to be able to have a replay for yourself and for the people who you're with. You'll be able to just to connect right back to the online platform, and I'm told that this will be available to you within 60 minutes. We are at the top of the hour, so I'm not going to waste any more time, and I'm going to go ahead and begin to do our introduction. Again, my name is Paul Martinelli. I'm president of the John Maxwell team. And on behalf of my friend and the partner, Scott Fay, our entire admin team, and our coaches, now 2,000 strong worldwide, we'd like to welcome you to this call and this opportunity to learn directly from who I believe to be the master of personal growth and the guru of leadership, John Maxwell. John has made a significant impact in the lives of people all over the world, millions of people, with just his nonprofit charity alone, Equip. They've trained over 6 million people in 153 different countries. John is the number 6 all-time seller on Amazon.com. He sold over 20 million books. I believe that this is John's 73rd book. Just this past year, he led an event in Pensacola, Florida, where we had over 5,000 people, a youth leadership week for young people all over the world. We reached out to 90,000 different young people with John's message on personal character and anti-bullying. And then this past summer, John did a once-in-a-lifetime seminar, a day about books, where John spent an entire day with one of the top publishers in the industry, Michael Hyatt, and one of John's writing team members, Charlie Wetzel, on how to really be able to transform lives through the written word. So without any further delay, I want to start this mastermind study on the 15 invaluable laws of growth by inviting my friend, my mentor, and my partner, John Maxwell. John, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Paul, I'm just delighted to be with you. And wow, I'm delighted to be with our coaches, hundreds of them around the world, and friends of our coaches. Many of you that are listening to me today, you really have been in mastermind groups already with the coaches, and some of you have never been in a growth group like that before, but before this evening's over, you're going to say, my goodness, I want to be part of mastermind. I want to be a part of a group of people who really want to grow. And so, Paul and coaches' friends, I'm so glad to be with you. Let me ask you just a logistical question before I dive, Paul. The outline for the two laws I'm going to teach, I'm going to assume that the people have that outline. Would that be true?
Most of them probably do have it, yes, John.
Okay. Well, I'm going to kind of walk them through an outline. And if they don't, just, you know, get your iPad or your legal pad out and take some good notes. Let me just, before I teach, just talk to you from my heart for a couple of minutes. I'll try to do this without getting emotional. But you don't know what this means to me to, first of all, just share my first day of this book being released with my coaches. I could share this, I guess, this day with a lot of different groups of people that I've had the privilege of interacting with and have enjoyed much. But when this group, when this book was going to come out, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted the first people that I wanted to teach this lesson to, the first people that I wanted to share this lesson with, were my coaches, because they are an extension of who I am. They are an extension of my legacy. And so I'm going to give all of you today, I'm going to give you a piece of me, because that's what every book is. Every book is a little piece of my soul. I try to live it. I try to exercise on it and practice it and flesh it out of my life. But it's a lot like giving birth, I would assume, in the fact that once a book is delivered, you just sit there and you look at it, and I hold it in my hand, and I just say, wow, this is me. This is a piece of me. And people ask me all the time, Paul, you know this, that, John, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite book? And I always laugh. I always say, well, the book I'm writing is my favorite, and it always is. It really is. And I, you know, so tonight, hey, tonight you're getting my favorite book. But just understand, the reason I say that is because every book I write is my favorite. And somebody asked me one time, they said, well, how will you know when you're going to finish your writing career? I mean, I've done 73. I've never had a goal to do 73. When I wrote my first book, I thought it would be my first and last, and it was so poor it should have been my first and last. If my mother wouldn't have kept buying all those copies and keep me alive, it would have been. But, you know, Mama, you know, just tried to help me. But I didn't know I'd write this many books. But here's what I do know. When my favorite book isn't the book I'm writing now or isn't the book that just came out now, then I'm going to quit writing. Because then Paul and coaches and friends and coaches, that'll mean it's my heart's not in it anymore. That'll mean that I'm not now giving a piece of me. I'm just giving things that are a piece of somebody else that I've collected and passing on to you. Now that I've said that every book is a piece of me and compared it a little bit to giving birth, I'm going to say to you that this book is very special. I think this book has more of my DNA in it than any book that I've ever written. My wife, Margaret, has always loved the book, How Successful People Think. And the reason she's loved that book so much is because she's always said, John, that's got your DNA all over it. Of every book you've written, that book is you. I mean, if a person reads How Successful People Think, they got you, John. I mean, They know you to a T because you that's how it's how you think, it's how you live. And I've always thought that she was right on that. And we've been discussing recently this book. And I think this book is more of me than any book I've ever written because it's personal growth. And I have loved growing personally, and I've had a passion for personal growth for almost 40 years. And I know what it's done for me. I know what it's done for me. I can tell you right now, if you'd stop me and say, John, what's the main reason that you've been able to have a life of success? And I know that's subjective, and I certainly wouldn't want to imply to anybody that I've been successful. I've just tried to help people, really. That's all I've tried to do. But I would have to say to you without any question that the key to where I am today, without any question, is in 1974 I started growing. And I've never stopped. And I love growing more today than I loved when I started. I know a lot more about it today than when I started. I'm more excited about what I'm learning today than when I started. And to me, there's something very personal and very wonderful about the fact that what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, I can promise you I know it. I live it. I love it. It's who I am. It's why I am where I am. And if I'm going to do anything more in my life beyond this, it's going to be because I keep growing and keep developing myself. So to share this book with you today is pure delight and pure joy. If you get just a little small percentage of my heart tonight, if you get just a little small percentage of my excitement about growing and the laws of growth that I have, then this will be a great success for me and for you, I promise you. Now, one more thing on the book before I start teaching, and that is that, of course, it was released today. It's pretty exciting, Paul, what my staff is telling me. Honest with you, They know the good news before I know the good news. They also know the bad news usually before I know the bad news. They know everything before I know because I've structured my life to literally have great people around me, and they basically handle pretty much everything for me. And so then they kind of tell me who I am and what I'm doing and the whole process. But it's been out today. It was released on Amazon. My goodness, they just gave me these stats just a little bit ago, Paul. It's number one in leadership books right now on Amazon. It's already hit number one there. It's already number one on Amazon and under the category of motivational. It's number four in the category of personal finance. Now, that shocks me because I never wrote the book for personal finance. I mean, I just was talking the other day to my good friend Dave Ramsey. He's kind of like the financial guru. I'm known for leadership, but I'm known for personal growth. But I already, when as soon as it came up, there was number four on Amazon in personal finance. It hit me. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, I never even thought about it. But the laws of growth that I'm going to give you two today, and then our coaches all over America and around the world are going to have mastermind groups, and they're going to finish these lessons on the 15 laws with you, and I want you to join them. I don't want you to miss an opportunity to grow in these laws. When I saw personal finance, Paul, I said to myself, well, why wouldn't it be? Because the laws of growth are at laws of personal finance. I mean, again, if you want to financially secure yourself, you just got to follow the laws of growth. And they'll work for you. So anyway, leadership and motivational, I'm very excited that they're both number one on Amazon. But I'll have to admit, personal finance, you know, once in a while you just something happens and you just say, well, wow, I didn't even plan that. You know, oh, happy day, right. I guess. But anyway, the book is doing good out of the gate, and I'm very excited about it. When I decide to write a book, there's been many different ways that decision has been made, but this one was the most unique of any of my 73 books. I literally, about a year and a half ago, woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and as soon as I was awakened, I'm a I'm not a heavy sleeper, and I don't really require a lot of sleep. And when I wake up immediately. I've never had problems trying to figure out who I am after I'm awake. I just kind of get up and get going. I'm kind of a fast starter. Now I'm good in the morning. I'm not too good at night. So, I'm just kind of a morning person. Some of you are morning person. Some people of you are night people. But regardless of that, 3:30 in the morning, I woke up. Immediately knew that I wanted to write a book on the laws of growth, put on my robe, slippers, went down to my office, and from 3:30 to almost noon that day, I never moved. Mm-hmm. Got my legal pad out, and I started writing what I thought would be the laws of growth. Now, I've been in a personal growth plan since 1974, so I know the plan well, and I just began to say, okay, what are the laws? The laws, I mean, the laws mean that they work. They work for every person listening to this call today. They work for you. You can't miss on the laws. I promise you. The laws are the laws. I wrote the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I wrote the 17 Laws of Teamwork. Now I've written the 15 Laws of Personal Growth. And what I mean, they're laws, what I mean is that either gender, they work. It's not like a male deal or a female thing. It's both. The laws mean that they work at any time. They'll work now for you. They'll work 10 years from now for you. They would have worked 10 years ago for you. I know. I've been doing them for 40 years, so they worked 100 years ago. The laws are the laws. They'll work any time, and they'll work in any culture, which is so huge because, Paul, as you know, we've got coaches around the world.
Yep.
And it's very important for me to do teachings that they're going to work where they are, and because I travel internationally constantly. And usually 5 or 6 times a year, I'm in other countries speaking. I've had the opportunity to do the laws of leadership, the laws of teamwork in dozens and dozens of countries. And the laws work. They work regardless of the culture. So what I want you to know is what you're going to hear from me now, they work. They work, period. They don't sometimes work. They don't usually work. They didn't work, but now they don't work, or they will work, but they haven't worked. No, they work. They work. Trust me on this. And they're going to work for you. They're going to work for you to develop you and help you to reach your potential. Because you see, what I would really love, the only thing better than being on a call with you today would be if I could be in hundreds and hundreds of locations around the world and I could just be with you personally. I would love to, hey, some of you are meeting with a half a dozen people somewhere. Some of you are meeting with a large group of people because you've looked at this as an opportunity to just get as many people as you can. So we've got all sizes of groups. It doesn't really matter to me. I just wish I was with you. I mean, I wish I was with you personally. And if I was, there are two questions that I would ask you, and let's get going. Let's get going. In fact, before I do any more teaching, look at the person you're with right now and say, take good notes because these laws will work for you. You go ahead and tell them. I'm going to stop talking. Tell them right now, take good notes. These laws will work good for you. All right. Thousands of you are telling each other to take good notes. Trust me, they will work good for you. But if I were with you in person today, I'd look you right in the eye, and I would say to you with all of the confidence and all the assurance that any person could ever talk to you about, that there are two questions that every person that wants to lead and influence others needs to ask themselves. Two questions. Two most important questions I could ever ask you. If you truly want to make a difference for you, and if you truly want to make a difference for others, just two questions. Question number one. Are you ready? Question number one, what are you doing to develop yourself? In other words, what are you doing to grow? Because what I know is that the only way that you and I can be a success tomorrow is to know more and to do more than we do today. That's fact. There is no way that you and I can be successful tomorrow by staying the same as we are today. It's impossible. The only way that you and I can be cutting edge, the only way that you and I can ever have something that is worth listening to is for us to keep learning and keep growing ourselves. So the question number one is, what are you doing to develop yourself? What are you doing to grow you? And number two, what are you doing to develop others? What are you doing to grow other people? Now, the first question is all about your success, and the second question is all about your significance. You can, after this call today, you can just take these laws of growth and say, you know what, I'm just going to grow myself and develop myself and pour everything into myself. And can I tell you something? You'll grow. You really will grow, and you'll be successful. You will be successful, I guarantee you. It is impossible for you to continually grow and not be successful. Impossible. Now, if you want significance, wow. If you want significance, you've got to get beyond yourself. And you've got to want to grow others. And this is where I stop now, and I salute every coach on the John Maxwell team, Paul, every coach. Because every coach on our team became a coach because they wanted to have significance in their life. They wanted to grow beyond themselves. They wanted to do something for others. I was talking just recently, very recently, to one of our coaches. And she shared with me, she said, what is there more to life than me developing myself and then turning around and adding value to others? And when that coach told me that, Paul, my heart just leaped, because that's what we're trying to do in the John Maxwell team. We're trying to certify people that want to grow themselves and they want to grow other people. And those two questions are absolutely huge. One's all about your success, and the other's all about your significance. And I would suggest to you that you have to do the first one first. You can't develop others till you develop yourself. You can't grow anyone until you grow in yourself. You cannot give what you do not have. So it starts with me. So when you take the laws of growth today, as I teach the first two, and then your coaches over the next few weeks are going to be teaching the other 13, as I teach those two laws today, I want you to grade yourself. Now, this isn't for me. This isn't for the coach that's with you. This isn't even for your friend that you brought alongside with you. It's for you. But I want you to grade yourself. From a 1 to a 10, 1 being I don't do this very well, to 10, I'm so awesome I should have written the book and John ought to be listening to me. But I want you to grade yourself. From a 1 to 10. And the only reason I want you to evaluate yourself is so that you, when you're done with the 15 laws of teaching over the next few weeks, you can look at the areas where you need to really work on, because there are going to be some of these laws you're just absolutely awesome at. There are going to be some of these laws that you're going to say, whoa, they shouldn't be laws. I stink at this. You know what I mean? I wish they weren't laws. I'm going to have to make some major changes in my life. But I want you to kind of evaluate yourself, because that's huge. Okay? Law number one is the law of intentionality. And the law of intentionality just simply says growth doesn't just happen. And in other words, if you and I are going to grow, we're going to grow because we're doing this on purpose. Nothing ever great was achieved by accident. The road to success is an intentional road. And I can tell you, as I teach this law to you now, when I was in my early 20s, I did not know this at all. I did not understand this. In fact, I was having breakfast at the Holiday Inn in Lancaster, Ohio, with a man named Kurt Kampmeyer. I'd gone to one of his training sessions, and I liked what he said, and so I asked him to have an appointment with me, and so he came down to Lancaster, and we're having breakfast together, and we were having a good time. Kurt looks at me and says, John, I got a question to ask you. What's your plan for personal growth? And I looked at Kurt, and I said, I don't have a plan. Now, I was a young leader, so in the beginning, before I told him I didn't have a plan, I tried to act like I did, but when I got done telling him all the stuff I was doing that was totally worthless, he looked at me and smiled and said, you don't have a plan, do you? And I said, no, I don't have a plan, Kurt. I don't have a plan. And then, here's what I want you to hear. And then he said to me, John, don't you realize growth is not an automatic process? In other words, he was saying, John, you're not automatically going to get better. Now, this was a revelation to me, because up until this moment, I thought I was going to automatically get better. I was already working hard. I was already focused. I already had my profession. I already loved what I was doing. And I was, to a great extent, already successful at what I was doing. I thought that I already had a plan. I didn't have a plan of growth. I just had a job, a career, of which I was working hard to do well. But I wasn't intentionally growing myself. Now think about it. We go to preschool, we go to school, go to college for, I don't know what, 12, 16, 20 years, however long we're in formal education. Somebody's got a plan for us, and they're taking us from step to step to step to give us what we need so that we can become what we want to be. But when we finally get that last degree from college or that high school diploma and we go launch out on our own, guess what? Nobody now is going to be concerned or responsible for our growth but us. And that day when Kirk Campmeyer shared with me that growth was not an automatic process, the light went on. And that's what I want to go on with you right now. Right now, I mean, I'm hoping there are literally hundreds and hundreds of you as you're listening to my teaching, and all of a sudden you're going to say to yourself, wow, I have always thought that if I just worked hard, I would automatically get better. And I just want you to know that's not true. You're going to have to be intentional in the process. And I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited to share this with you because what I learned from Kirk Campmeyer, by the way, I turned 65 in February, and my staff gave me an amazing birthday gift. It was back in the early 70s that I saw Kirk Campmeyer at the Holiday Inn in Lancaster, Ohio, and that day he asked me that question. I didn't have an answer, but he put me on a journey, a personal growth journey that I have been consistent on since that time. And yet I never saw Kirk Campmeyer again. As I would tell this story, as I would travel around the world about personal growth, I would always ask myself, I wonder why Kirk doesn't show up, because certainly enough people have heard me tell the story that they would know Kirk Campmeyer. They would find him somewhere, and they'd say, hey, do you know John Maxwell is just absolutely gives you the credit for his personal growth? And I kid you not, nothing. And then I wonder, well, I wonder if he passed away, I thought someday we'll meet him on my 65th birthday. We were celebrating up in Atlanta where my offices are. And all of a sudden, they had a surprise for me. Somebody on my staff had found Kirk in Columbus, Ohio. And he came down, and he walked in that room and shook my hand. It was the first time I've seen him in almost 40 years. And when I realized who it was, I hugged him and I wept. And I sat down with him the next 2 hours, and if I told him once, I told him 100 times, I owe everything to you. I'm so grateful for you. You have no idea what you've done for me. I just want to let you know, God created you to walk into my life. And I just felt such a gratitude for Kurt, because he was the person who gave me the idea that helped me understand that I needed to get a personal growth plan, and growth was going to have to be intentional in my life. Wow. All right. I got to be careful. I'm going to have to teach. I'm just extremely emotional today. And I'm grateful that I could have this time with you. So let me give you some thoughts, and let me kind of dive. You dive with me, okay? And let's dive and get some pearls today, okay? I want you to know, first of all, I don't think that personal growth is not a natural process in most people's lives. I don't think we naturally grow. I don't think we naturally get better. I think the only thing that's automatic and natural in our life after we're born is we die. Think about it. No one has to work on dying. You don't have to take a course on dying. You don't have to read a book on, you know, how to die. You don't have to go to get some counseling to make sure that you die. You and I are going to die. It's automatic. We don't have to work on it. It's just going to happen. Okay, now we're all voting for later, aren't we? I'm voting for later. So we're all kind of saying, okay, I know it's a reality, but I vote for, you know, hello, the future, way out there. Okay, but we're going to die. That's the only thing automatic in your life. Everything else you're going to have in your life, good choices, bad choices, it's going to be intentional. Now, many of you know that my father, I'm the middle child, when my older brother, my younger sister and I, when we got to the seventh grade, my dad put me on my first personal growth plan. He just said, John, when you get to seventh grade, I'm going to pay you to read good books. We were required to read 30 minutes every day. My dad picked the books out from 7th grade through high school. He'd sit down, give us the book. When we finished reading it, we'd discuss it while we were reading it, when we finished reading it, and then he would pay us what the book cost him. And that's literally how we got our allowance. We didn't get an allowance for taking out the garbage and doing chores. My dad said, why would I pay you to take out the garbage unless I want you to grow up and be a garbage collector? I put my money where my values are, and my values are on books. So I read all the classics. I read all the good books in my life. But my father put me on a personal growth plan, and a book that I read in the 7th grade, I read it again in the 8th grade, read it again in the 9th grade, read it again in the 10th grade, read it again in the 11th grade, read it again in the 12th grade. In fact, I read it every year. Thank you very much. It's James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh. And James Allen said these words. Now, the first time I read these words was in the 7th grade. I'm telling you, the seed of personal growth was planted into me as a kid. And I just say that because many of you coaches, many of you friends of coaches that are gathered around listening to me today, you've got children 7th grade. Now's the time to start putting good books in their hands. Now's the time to really start investing in your children. Put your money with the things that you value. It will truly change their life. And so in the 7th grade, Paul, I read for the first time these words by James Allen in his book, As a Man Thinketh. Mr. Allen said, people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves, and therefore they remain bound. Wow. I'm going to read it again. Because this is huge. James Allen said, people are anxious to improve their circumstances. Let's just stop right now. Everyone that's listening to me, here's what I know about you. You've got issues and problems and circumstances in your life that you don't like. And you're just saying, boy, I'd like to change this. I wish this would get a little bit better. I wish I could get something done about that. Every one of us have areas in our life that we want to see changed and improved. And Alan was exactly right. He said, people are anxious to improve their circumstances. But now notice this. But are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. In other words, Alan says, boy, we want to improve our circumstances, but we don't want to improve ourselves. And because we don't improve ourselves, we remain bound. Now, what does he mean by that? He means very simply, if you don't grow yourself, your problem may go away, but you'll have another problem, and you'll never outgrow your issues. You'll never mature beyond those things that stymie you and keep you from reaching your potential. So it's not our circumstances we need to begin to work on first or change first. It's us that we need to work on first. It's nice. It's us that we need to change ourselves. So let's stop here because I want you to write this question down on your pad, on your iPad, whatever you're writing on right now. I want you to write this question on. I'm not going to have time to discuss it now. Maybe, hey, coaches, when I'm done with the call, if you got maybe 10 or 15, 30 minutes with your people, this would be a question to discuss. Here's the question. Right now, what would you like to improve about yourself? Now, I don't want you to list a dozen things, although I'm sure most of us, I could list a dozen things of areas that I need to improve in. I'm just asking you to list one thing. And here's what I want you to see. Everything gets better when you get better. Nothing gets better if you don't get better. And if you want your entire life to be governed by the circumstances and the difficulties and problems of life, just stop growing and stay the same, and they'll govern you and run your life every day and control how you think and control your decisions. That's a fact. But if you want to get above those situations and those difficulties, you're going to have to grow yourself. A couple years ago, I was at a conference, and a couple came up to me and they talked to me about their 9-year-old daughter who was listening to one of my CDs on personal growth. And her name was Elizabeth, and they gave me this card, which I laminated and I kept. And it's in her writing, Elizabeth. She's 9 years old. And here's what she wrote. She said, John Maxwell says, always work on yourself more than others. Always work on yourself before you work on others. Now, here's a 9-year-old. She's listening to me teach, and she's picked up two things. You got it? Always work on yourself more than others. Always work on yourself before you work on others. And after she said those two quotes by John Maxwell, here's what she said. I say, hey, he's right. Because if you work on others before yourself, you won't know what you're doing. This is a 9-year-old. She's got it figured out. You can't help others till you help yourself. You can't develop others till you develop yourself. What are the two questions? What are you doing to develop yourself? What are you doing to develop others? Wow. Very simple. What are you doing to improve yourself? Now, that is the question that we've got to continue to ask ourselves tonight. Now, when I started my personal growth and tried to work out a personal growth plan, I didn't have anybody helping me. I wasn't on a call like this. Man, what I would have given as a young person to have been on a call like this and had somebody kind of guide me through this. I would like to tell you that Kirk Kantmeyer spoke to me. He spoke to me and he gave me this great advice. I'd like to tell you that, of course, the next morning I immediately started my growth plan. But that isn't the way it happened. It took me months. In fact, I went to my friends and asked them, do you have a personal growth plan? I asked that question 500 times, Paul. Not one friend of mine had a personal growth plan. Not one person understood that you had to intentionally grow. And I didn't know how to grow. And so I didn't get started immediately, not because I didn't want to get started immediately. I just found that I fell into some traps. And I call them growth gap traps. Now, the greatest gap in the world that keeps us from success is the gap between knowing and doing. In other words, we know what we should do many times, but we don't do what we should do. And I began to run into some growth gaps. And let me just give them to you quickly. One is the assumption gap, which I assumed that I would automatically grow. I've already talked to you about that, about Kirk Kantmeyer. I mean, I just assumed that I was growing because I was going to work. Wow. John Cotter and I were having lunch one day. You've read his stuff, I'm sure. He's written some great books on change. Harvard professor, brilliant, brilliant person. He sure taught me a lot. John Cotter, one time we're having lunch, and he said, John, he says, most people, they don't lead their lives. They accept their lives. I thought, how true. Most of the people I know, they're not intentional in what they do. They don't get up every day with a plan. They get up every day and say, well, I see I got to go to work and I got to meet this person for lunch. They just basically kind of look at their calendar and have it kind of filled up with stuff, and they just basically go through life every day accepting their life. So I had the assumption gap. I had the assumption gap. I just assumed I would automatically grow until Kirk Kantmeyer just woke me up out of my lethargy and said, John, you aren't going to automatically grow. You're going to have to get better, buddy. You're going to have to get a lot better. The second gap is the knowledge gap, which basically says, I don't know how to grow. Well, I've already shared with you, I didn't know how to grow. You know, whenever you go to a mall and you don't never been to that mall before, I don't know, maybe you don't do this, but I do this because I kind of want to get to the store I want to get to, and I'm not kind of like wandering around the mall trying to find it. That's kind of a waste of time. So I look for the map, you know, the You Are Here map. You've seen them, where you go and it says You Are Here with an arrow, and then I look all around and I see the store, and then now that I know where I am, I can certainly know where I'm going to go. Well, the 15 laws of growth, it's really a kind of a You Are Here kind of a map. It just says, okay, this is where you are. These are the laws. This is how you get there. Paul, I don't tell this story very often. But after a few months of futility trying to find out how to grow myself and asking people about growth, finding that nobody had any answers for me, I found that there was a kit by Success Motivation Institute, SMI, out of Waco, Texas. In fact, Paul Meyer, of course, had that company. And I of course didn't know Paul Meyer from anybody back then, but years and years and years later, probably 25, 30 years after I got a SMI growth kit, I found Paul, and we had a lunch or a dinner. It was out in Las Vegas, and we started a great relationship with him, and I thanked him because I found a kit that was, it wasn't called a growth kit, but it was a how to be a success kit. And I remember, it was $799. That was 1 month of income for me. 1 month. And I didn't have $799. And I said, Margaret, I said, you know, I got to have this because this is going to help me. I think this is going to begin to teach me how to grow. And so we worked together, and over 6 months we saved. You know, we just did without. We just skipped a lot of stuff and saved our money until I got my $799 and I bought the kit. But it helped me. It was a kit that basically taught me how to discipline myself. It taught me how to set goals, and it helped me. It was kind of my first taste of personal growth. But I had a knowledge gap. I didn't know how to grow. And again, that's what we're trying to close. We're trying to put a bridge across that gap for you, and I think we will, and that excites me very much. The coaches are going to try to do that as they lead you for these next few weeks. They're going to try to do the same thing. The third gap was the timing gap. It's just not the right time to begin. One of my favorite parts about the book, the Laws of Growth book that the coaches have, many of you, as you're listening to me, you've either bought that book from your coach today, or you will, because many of the coaches have them for you. And I'm so excited that they do, because this is the tool you need. But in the book, I talk about a law called the Law of Diminishing Intent. And the Law of Diminishing Intent says the longer you wait to do something that you should do now, the greater the odds that you will never do it. Wow. I'll repeat it. The Law of Diminishing Intent says the longer you wait to do something you should do now, the greater the odds that you will never do it. In other words, the Law of Diminishing Intent basically says to you and me, the longer you procrastinate, the longer you put off something that you know that you should do, the odds greatly decrease that you'll ever do it. In other words, the Law of Diminishing Intent says the best time to do something you know you should do is now. And if you do it now, all of a sudden you can begin to have the success that you want in life. And I have people all the time, and I'll talk to them about making a decision they need to make, and they'll say something like, well, yeah, I'm not sure it's the right time for them. I don't know, John. I'm not sure it's the right time. I got a question to ask you. When the heck is the right time? I mean, when is the right time? Hello? I mean, tell me how you're going to know when the right time is the right time. You see, I've always become convinced that the right time is when you know it's the right thing to do. It's like my friend John Wooden, who mentored me for many years. When he said to me many times, he said it to me 50 times, John. He says, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. I mean, it's already come. When opportunity comes to you and you're not prepared, guess what? You don't get it. You miss it. I miss it. When opportunity comes, it's too late to be prepared. Well, what's that mean? It means get prepared now. So when opportunity comes, you can act on it. When's the right time? The right time is when you know it's the right time to do it. And if the longer you and I wait, the higher the odds are we never will. Jack Canfield, in his wonderful book, The Success Principles, which has a subtitle, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, writes these words. Just listen to them, okay? Don't take notes on it. Just listen. It's time to quit waiting for perfection, inspiration, permission, reassurance, someone to change, the right person to come along, the kids to leave home, a more favorable horoscope, the new administration to take over, an absence of risk, someone to discover you, a clear set of instructions, more self-confidence, the pain to go away. Canfield says, It's time to quit waiting for those things, because you know what Canfield knows? Do you know what I know? And I know what you know. You know this too. In your intuitive heart, you know this. Whenever we talk about, well, I'm not going to get started quite now, and it's not quite the right time, those are just procrastination crutches. And the longer we wait, the higher the odds are we will never get accomplished what we want to get accomplished. The timing gap, it's not the right time. Let me tell you something, my friend. Right now is the right time for you to get a personal growth plan. Right now is the right time for you to get in a mentoring group, a mastermind group, where you can have a coach lead you through these laws and say, this is what you got to do to really grow. There's never been a better time than right now. Another gap that I had to work through is the mistake gap. I'm afraid of making mistakes. Now, if I was with you personally right now, I would have everybody raise their hand who has never started something because they had a little fear of failure or of a mistake. And I promise you, every one of us would have our hands raised, because every one of us have not done something because we were afraid of making a mistake and afraid of failing. In fact, if I was with you, I wouldn't only raise one hand, I'd raise both my hands, because I've done that way too many times. I know you have too. It's a mistake gap. And how many times we don't go forward because we don't want to make a mistake. When I was younger, a person that mentored me by books, not in person because I didn't know him for years, I met him later, and then he became a very good friend of mine, was Robert Schuller. But in one of Robert Schuller's books back in the early 1970s, he asked this question: what would you attempt if you knew you wouldn't fail? Well, when I saw that question the first time, I thought, well, that's an easy answer. What would I attempt if I knew it wouldn't fail? There's a whole bunch of things I would attempt. And I literally put on a piece of paper all the things I would try that I'd never tried if failure wasn't a possibility. And all of a sudden, I began to realize all the things that my fear of failure was keeping me from achieving, and all the things that literally paralyzed me and kept me from going forward. It's a great question. What would you do? What would you attempt if you knew you wouldn't fail? Well, now that I've matured and I've built off of that question, and I've asked myself that question hundreds of times and asked others that question also, I would have to tell you I've gone and I've written another question I want to give you today. It's close, but it isn't the same what Bob Schuller said. But I think it's a question you need to ask yourself. The question is, what would you attempt if you knew you would fail, but it could lead to success? I like that question. I'll repeat it. What would you attempt if you knew you would fail, but it could lead to success? Because can I tell you something? Bob Schuller's question is really not realistic. When he asked the question, what would you attempt if you knew you wouldn't fail, the answer is, every one of us would attempt anything. But can I tell you something? That ain't going to happen. If you attempt things, you'll have a lot of failures. You'll make a lot of mistakes. But a realistic question that leads to somewhere for you is, what would you attempt if you knew you would fail, but it could lead to success? Because that is exactly what I have discovered. I have no success in my life. Hear me out. I have no success in my life. Hear me out. I have no success in my life that was not preceded by failure. None. I do not know what it's like to have a clear path without problems, obstacles, detours, dead ends on the road to success. I've never experienced it. I've never known what it's like. In fact, if I ever experience it, I'll know that I'm dead, that I'm in heaven. Only heaven would have a world that you would have no failure on your way to success. And I can tell you right now, I would like to say, well, I had one little kind of blip in the radar screen, had one little misstep, and then I got to success. No. It was many failures. It was many mistakes. It was many exits that I had to get back on the freeway of my journey. So here's what I'm saying to you. If you're afraid of making mistakes, you have no shot at success. None. You say, "Oh, John, don't I have a little?" No, none. You cannot be successful. You cannot grow without fumbling, falling, tripping, failing. So if that's your gap that's keeping you from growing, I'm just here to tell you, you'll just never grow. You'll be literally paralyzed. Another gap was the perfection gap. And the perfection gap just simply says, wow, I have to find the best way before I start. I run into people all the time, and they say, well, you know what, John, I'll get started, but I want to research this. I want to look at it. I want to figure it out. And when I find the best way, then I'm going to start. Listen to me very carefully. My name is John. I am your friend. Listen to me carefully. It is impossible, not improbable. Don't get those two words confused. They're not the same. It is impossible to find the best way before you start. Experience of life doesn't allow that. Experience of life doesn't allow you and me to sit on the sidelines and figure it out. And once it's totally figured out, off we go. And we can say, wow, I figured it all out on the front end, and I just took this path, and it was just an unbelievable, perfect path. And within, 17 days, I hit the jackpot, and I was successful. Can I tell you something? You may watch something like that on late-night TV on infomercials. But after you're done watching that and you get a couple hours sleep, you're going to wake up the next morning, and you know that there's somebody's on drugs. Trust me. You can't figure it out before you start. It is I get started and I figure it out as I go. Now, you say, are you anti-planning, John? No, I'm pro-planning. And what I would say to you is get as much information as you can on the front end, of course. There's a difference between getting as much information as you can on the front end and getting all the information you need. That's two different worlds, friend. You can get as much information as you can and then proceed. That's a fact. And that'll work well for you. But you can't get all the information on the front end. Because what is? Life is a journey. And that journey means that as we go, we experience new people, new situations. We find ourselves absolutely confronted with things that we could have never seen or anticipated before we begin. Many of you know this perfection gap is something I've always worked on hard in a lot of people's lives, because there are just some people that just they just want to be perfect. And, of course, that's never been one of my issues or my problems. I'm so human, I don't have to try to convince anybody that I'm perfect. They all look at me and say, dear God, how can that guy be as successful with all of his mess-ups? In fact, I wrote the book Failing Forward, and when I was on Good Morning America being interviewed on the book, they asked me where I did the research on the book Failing Forward, and I started laughing. They said, why are you laughing? I said, it's the only book I've ever written I didn't have to do any research on. All I had to do is look at me. I mean, all I had to do is give you personal experiences. I've just, messing up is a spiritual gift in my life. So I pulled this out today. It's a laminated card. Any of you know me well know how much I love laminated cards. It says, when it looks like I have failed, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? For failure does not mean I'm a failure. It does mean I have not yet succeeded. Failure does not mean I have accomplished nothing. It does mean I have learned something. Failure does not mean I've been a fool. It does mean I had enough faith to experiment. Failure does not mean I've been disgraced. It does mean I dared to try. Failure does not mean I don't have it. It does mean I have to do something in a different way. Failure does not mean I'm inferior. It does mean I'm not perfect. Failure does not mean I've wasted my life. It does mean I have an excuse to start over again. Failure does not mean I should give up. It does mean I should try harder. Failure doesn't mean I'll never make it. It does mean I need more patience. And failure finally does not mean you have abandoned me. It does mean you have a better idea. Wow. Another gap that we have that keeps us sometimes from going forward is the inspiration gap. You know, that's the person who says, I just don't feel like doing it. Remember, the difference between winners and whiners is this. Winners want to feel good before they do something. And winners want to do something before they feel good. There's a world of difference between those two worlds. And if you're waiting to feel good before you do something, you'll never do something. Because there's always a reason not to do it. There's the comparison gap that some people face when they start growing. Others are better than I am. And let me help you with the comparison gap real quickly. When you say, wow, if I run this race of growth, there are some people that are smarter than me, and I'm not as smart as them. If I'm in one of those mastermind groups, they're going to know more answers than I know. And, ooh, I feel a little inferior right now. Let me explain something. There's always going to be somebody smarter than you. Get over it. When I look around me, I see people all the time. Better, faster, smarter, more talented, more gifted. Hello? So if you're saying, boy, I'm just afraid somebody's going to be better, don't be afraid of it anymore. Somebody is better. That isn't the reason you're growing. You're not growing to win a race against the human race. You're growing to get better yourself. You see, you're growing because you want to be all you can be, not all that John Maxwell could be, not all that Paul Martinelli could be. You want to be all you can be. You want to be you. You don't want to be anyone else. I've often said to people, I'm a person of faith, and I'm not trying to put that on you, so don't get nervous with me, but I've often said, God's never going to hold me accountable for gifts and abilities and opportunities I didn't have. He's going to hold me accountable for the ones I do have. I'm not supposed to be you. You're not supposed to be me. You're supposed to be you, who you are. So the comparison gap, don't worry about people being smarter and faster than you are. They already are. They already are outrunning you. That isn't the issue. You want to grow yourself. The expectation gap. I love this. People who start to grow and they say, my goodness, I thought it would be easier than this. Wow, John. Wow, I started this growth thing. I thought it would be easier than this. Can I tell you something? Paul Harvey said it best. He said, you can tell you're on the road to success. It's uphill all the way. You don't coast to success. You don't wake up one day and you're on the top of the mountain of success. You got to work at it. And people say, boy, I thought it would be easier than this. Can I tell you something? It's not easy. It's not easy. I don't know anything good in life that's easy. It's all hard. Scott Peck said it right when he wrote his book, The Road Less Traveled. His first statement, life is difficult. Growth is difficult. It's not easy. What's easy is doing nothing. What's easy is being a couch potato. What's easy is letting this world pass you by, and you lived and you died, and nothing happened in between. That's easy. All this other stuff, intentional, uphill. In my book, The Laws of Growth, I kind of make fun, tongue-in-cheek, of luck, because people just say, boy, you're lucky. Boy, John, you were lucky, weren't you? You were lucky. Well, let me help you understand what a lot of people think luck is. Let me define what I think. Preparation, which is growing, having a growth mindset, and having a great attitude. Preparation plus opportunity plus action equals luck. In other words, if you're really prepared and you seize every opportunity and you take action, then you are going to be a lucky son of a gun. Yes, you are. And by the way, don't ever try to convince somebody that it's not luck. I've tried, and I find that every loser in life wants to attribute my success and your success to you just having to be at the right place at the right time to meet the right person, the right thing happened, and everything came out right. You know why losers want to give you that kind of assessment of luck on your life? Because they want to explain why they haven't been successful. They want to say, I just haven't met that right person, and I haven't been in that right place, and I haven't had that right opportunity, and I haven't been able to be there at the right time. And they want to basically say, I haven't been lucky, so therefore I haven't grown, and I haven't been successful. It has nothing to do with it. Okay. Wow. What I would like to see happen today is for you to become growth-oriented instead of goal-oriented. Now, I believe in goals, and I've absolutely written down goals for my life. But what I found about my goals is when I reach one, I have a tendency to want to celebrate and stay there too long. I have a problem. I'm a kind of a party celebrator guy. I love my life, and I love to live life fully. And when I achieve a goal, I kind of like to celebrate. I just kind of like to hang around and have a party and have everybody come around and high-five everybody. And what I discovered is if I set goals, I will plateau an awful lot of times. But if my goal is not setting goals but growing all of my life. I've met a lot of people who said to me, I've reached my goal, John. I don't know what to do now. I've never had anybody say, John, I've grown all I can possibly grow, and I've reached my potential, and I don't know what to do now. I've never met a person who said they reached their potential. I never met a person who said they've grown as far as they can grow. In fact, in my book, The Laws of Growth, not in the first two laws, so I'm not going to teach this, but in my book on The Laws of Growth, I talk about the fact that people that have evaluated potential say that most of us only tap about 10% of our potential. We've got a long way to grow. We've got a 90% ceiling above us. So how do I make this transition to intentional growth? First of all, ask the big question now. Now, when I started my laws of growth and I started my personal growth journey, I didn't know what the big question was. Let me tell you what my question was in year one. When I started growing personally, my question was, how long will this take? I said, okay, I got my plan for growth and I'm going to do this every day. And I wonder how long this will take me. And I assumed it could take 18 months. It could take as much as good night, 2 years. And then I would be done with my personal growth plan. I never imagined that I'd do this all my life. I thought it was a program. I thought it was just kind of a little deal that you did for X amount of time, and okay, I got that on my way. What's next? So my big question when I started was, how long will this take? 18 months? 2 years? I don't know. But as I began to grow, then I went to the big question. I don't want any of you to miss this. So before I give it to you, look at your neighbor out there. I mean, I'm talking to you. We have thousands on this call. I would tell you how many you have on the call because I know because Paul Martinelli has texted me and told me, but I'm going to let Paul tell you a little later. But I'm telling you, this is a big call with a whole bunch of people, thousands and thousands of people. But before I give you the big question now, look at your neighbor and say, be sure to write down the big question. Because the big question is the question that every person that gets on a personal growth journey asks themselves within time. Okay, year one, my big question for me was how long is this going to last? How long will this take? 18 months, 2 years. By the time I had grown those 18 months or 2 years, I went to the big question. I mean the real big question. And this is the question I want you to ask yourself because this question has no limit. The question is, how far can I go? And the question, how far can I go, will be determined by how far can I grow. That's good. That's very good. How far can I go? Stop now for a minute. I know you've written that down. Okay, you got it. Don't do anything. Just go inside yourself. Go inside yourself right now and ask yourself, how far can I go? Hey, what is my potential? I can tell you right now, God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. Trust me on this. He created you for greatness. He created you for success. He made you in his image. How far can I go? I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't put a limit on you. No way. Don't look at me and say, how far can I go? How far can I grow, John? I have no idea. I have watched people grow and go farther than I could have ever imagined. Let me say this. I have gone farther than I could have ever imagined. Trust me, when I started this journey almost 40 years ago, I had no clue that I would be where I am today. None at all. Ask yourself the big question. How far can I go? And let me tell you this right now. If you really want to go far, then you need not only to read the 15 laws of personal growth, you need to get in a mastermind group, and you need to get with people who have a like-minded desire to grow. Because what I have found, and Paul, you know this. This is why we help our coaches start mastermind groups. Paul, you know this. I know this because we've done this and we've proven it time and time again. You grow better when you grow with people than you grow when you grow alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way. I got a personal trainer. Her name is Joe, and Margaret and I go down to the gym, and she works us through the weights and all the ab crunches. She looks at my body and says, "Dear God, we got a lot of work to do." And can I tell you something? I work harder when she's with me than I do when I'm alone in the gym. Boy, today when she had me doing push-ups, I was doing sets of 20. And I was very proud. I was doing sets of 20 on my last fourth set. I did 21. She was watching me, and I could hardly wait to do 21 so I could lay there flat on that mat, exhausted, and look at her through the sweat and say, "Joe, I did 21 the last time." And she gave me a high five. And the only reason I did 21 is because Joe was with me. And if you want to be serious about growing, don't go it alone. You say, "Can I take this journey by myself?" Of course you can, but you can't go as far as you can go with others. That's why the mastermind groups are so important. So, how do you make the transition to intentional growth? Ask the big question now. Secondly, do it now. Just do it now. You say, "John, what do you mean by do it now?" What I mean by do it now is do it now. How simple is this? I can still remember in my 20s, hearing W. Clement Stone, who had a great impact on my life. Paul, he had a great impact on your life.
Yep.
Man, I'm telling you, he had all over the country for years, he had what he called PMA rally, positive mental attitude rallies. And I can still remember him in Dayton, Ohio, listening to W. Clement Stone look at us and said, "Let me tell you something. You've been procrastinating too long on things you know you should do." He said, "I'm going to give you an exercise." And the exercise he gave us that day was, he said, "When you get up in the morning, before you get out of bed, before you brush your teeth, before you wash, before you do anything," he said, "sit on the edge of that bed and 50 times say aloud to yourself, 'Do it now, do 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 it now.'" He said, say that 50 times, "Do it now, do it now, do it now, do it." He said 50 times out loud to yourself before you get up out of that bed. He said, "When you go to bed at night, before you lay your head on that pillow, sit on the side of that bed, and before you go to sleep, say again 50 times to yourself aloud, 'Do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now.'" He said, "Do that every day, morning and night, for 30 days. And he said, "I promise you, next month, after you said that 50 times in the morning, 50 times in the evening, for every day of that month," he said, "the next month when you start that new calendar and turn that leaf over for another month," he said, "the first thing you'll think of is 'Do it now.'"
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I did. I'm a 24-year-old kid. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm saying, "Do it now, do it now, do it now," every morning. I'm saying, "Do it now, do it now, do it now," every night. And he was exactly right. It created within me an urgency. That may seem a little remedial to some of you. That may seem a little childish. That may even seem a little bit hypey to some of you. I don't care what it seems to you. All I'm telling you now is just do it 50 times in the morning, 50 times in the evening. And I promise you, after doing that for 30 days, you'll look at people who don't do it now and you'll say, "How disgusting. Are they ever going to do with anything with their life, or do we just bury them now?" Now, one more thing on how to move intentionally in this area of growth. Face the fear factor. Face the fear factor. Because as I'm talking about personal growth, we're talking about, for many of you, new, uncharted territory. We're talking about virgin stuff to you tonight. And you're saying, "Man, I've got fear." Hey, can I tell you something? I understand fear. In fact, I always crack up when these people say, "Remove fear from your life." I don't know who they are. I mean, I don't know what kind of a mental mind they must have, a giant mind of controlling the right. But I can tell you something, they're much more awesome than me, because I've never been able to remove fear from my life. And so my name's John, and I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think you can remove fear from your life. Now, if you did, then you're just bigger, better than I am, and you need to coach me. But I've never been able to remove fear from my life. I really haven't. I'd like to tell you I never worry, but I worry sometimes. I'd like to tell you I'm never concerned, but I am concerned sometimes. I'd like to tell you I never doubt, but I do doubt sometimes. I guess there's somebody out there that has conquered all this stuff, but it ain't me. But I will give you an answer. If you want to overcome fear, you don't remove fear. Here's how you overcome fear. You see, in your life and in my life, we all have what I call positive emotions and negative emotions. A positive emotion that's opposite of fear is faith. Now, that's a positive emotion where fear is a negative emotion. So when you have fear, what do? You try to starve your fear, but you try to feed your faith. So what you do is you don't try to remove fear, you just try to build faith. And here's what I've learned. What we do is based on the stronger of the two emotions. If my fear is stronger than my faith, I'll fear and back away. If my faith is stronger than my fear, I'll move forward. And when I move forward, I still have fear. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. I still have fear. But it doesn't conquer me. It doesn't control me, because the positive motion of faith is greater than my negative motion of fear. Wow. I am loving teaching this lesson. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I know you're answering it. I'm going to ask you the question and answer it to your group there, okay? Okay. Are you learning something? If you're learning something, say yes. Okay. In fact, if you're learning something right now, high five the person you're beside. Just high five them. I mean, they maybe haven't moved all night. Go on. High five them right now. And if they don't move, just slap them across the face. That's okay. But move them. Get them going. High five somebody. Yeah, I'm learning. Of course you're learning something tonight. Why? Because we're learning something about how to grow and how to get better and reach our potential. There's a chart for you. It's in the book. Boy, it's a great chart. It's basically two columns. One has accidental growth and one has intentional growth. And accidental growth is in the 0, 1s, 2s, and 3s. And intentional growth is in the 7s, 8s, 9s, and 10s. And I hope that you have this. I hope you have this lesson. I hope it's out there for you. If not, maybe the coaches can make it available to you. But it's good for you. I want you to look at it. I don't have time to teach it, but I just kind of want you to look at it right now, okay? And if you don't have time to look at it, maybe afterwards, coaches, you can kind of walk them through this accidental to personal growth. Because here's what I know. There's a world difference between the two. I'm not going to give you all of them. Accidental growth plans to start tomorrow. Intentional growth insists on starting now. Wow. Accidental growth depends on good luck. Intentional growth relies on hard work. Hey, accidental growth talks big. Intentional growth follows through. Accidental growth stops learning after graduation, and intentional growth never stops learning. You just say, thanks for that diploma. It means very little. I'm going to keep growing. Thanks for that wonderful college diploma. It's just nice to have. Now I got to keep growing. Okay, I gave you the gaps. One of the things I would encourage you to do is to look at those gaps and ask yourself this question. Which one of these gaps is the greatest challenge to you? In other words, what's going to keep you from getting started tonight in personal growth? What's going to keep you from joining a mastermind group? What's going to keep you from just all of a sudden say, I'm going to break out of this prison I've literally put myself into, and I'm going to reach my potential? And I would look at all 8 of those gaps, and I would encourage you, check the one that is giving you the most trouble, and then say, okay, I'm going to overcome it. Now remember, how do you overcome it? Faith over fear. You can't get rid of the fear, but you can feed the positive emotion until that's the one that you follow. Okay, wow. Okay, Paul, I've got another law to teach here. And you can tell I'm a little bit in trouble because I've got an hour. I didn't plan on teaching that long, but you can tell I'm passionate about what I'm doing, Paul.
Right on.
This is you know what? This is me. This is who I am. I mean, if somebody says wants to know John Maxwell, well, this is me. This is who I am, and I hope you're enjoying it. I'm loving teaching you. Okay, here's what I'm going to do: a game plan. I'm going to try to teach this for 15 minutes, and then I'll shut up, Paul, and you can talk a little bit, and we can ask questions. So, you know, if I'm not done by, I don't know, 20 after, just. Or 25 after, just, you know, blow a whistle or something, or, you know, call time. tell me to take a pill or go to the bathroom or go get a drink or take a walk or, you know, I'm here in my condo today. Jump off my balcony. Do something else. Okay? You're responsible.
I'm responsible for God.
Yeah. I can't be responsible. Obviously, I'm enjoying this too much to be responsible. So somebody who's kind of standing back has to be responsible for me. So here we go, Fred. Here we go. Let's go on just for a second, okay? Okay, I'm going to take 1 minute. Before I teach this, before I go ahead and teach this, take 60 seconds and look at what I said on Law 1, and I want you just to put a little star beside the thing that you learned the most today. And the reason for that is maybe, I'm not telling the coaches what to do, but when we're done, maybe the coaches will want to just kind of go around to some of you and say, what was the most important thing you learned? So I'm going to be quiet for 60 seconds. And in this 60 seconds, do me a favor. Would you please just ask yourself, what was the most important thing that you learned? Okay, you got it? Okay, you got it, don't you? I know you do. Okay, I'm going to shut up for 60 seconds. Okay. Boy, that'll be a good discussion later on for some of you. Let me go to law number two, the law of awareness. And the law of awareness just simply says you must know yourself to grow yourself. What an essential law for personal growth. I've never known anybody to develop themselves well that didn't know themselves well. So what I'm going to do in this law is I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm just going to really hopefully give you some guidance that will help you. So let's get going on this one because it's so important. Okay, I guess the question we have to ask all of ourselves right now is, do you have a sense of direction? Do I have a sense of direction? Because we've got to be aware. We've got to be aware of who we are and where we are before we can figure out where we're going to go. So let me just share with you, as I do in the book, to grow yourself, you must know the following four things. You must know your strengths. In other words, your abilities. What are you gifted in? What are you naturally good at? And here's the good news. Every one of you listening to this lesson, you're good at something. You have a gift. You have a natural ability in something. What is it? To grow yourself, you must also know, secondly, your weaknesses, especially your weaknesses in areas of choices. You need to know what you're not good in abilities because you don't want to work on that because you're not good at it. But if you really want to grow, you got to ask yourself, what am I weak in my areas of choice? For example, maybe you're not disciplined. That's a choice. And so for you to really grow, you're going to say, I got to work on my weaknesses. Now, you work on your weaknesses in your areas of choices, not in your areas of abilities and giftedness. So what am, you know, maybe my weakness is I've got a bad attitude. Wow. And it's just hurting me. It's sabotaging everything I do. People can sense it. People see it. It's keeping me from my potential. Okay, you got to know your strengths. You got to know your weaknesses. Thirdly, what are your interests? What really kind of captures your heart. I almost put passion there. But I sometimes think it's better to just start with interest. Sometimes people have interest that becomes passion. For example, I'll give you just a quick example. When I started teaching, when I started speaking, let's start there. I was on the road and I was speaking at conferences with what I called motivational speakers, and they were just good and they motivated me. But after about 2 years of listening to them talk and say a lot of incredibly great things that helped me, that I took notes on, all of a sudden I realized they fell a little short of what I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a motivational speaker. I wanted to be a motivational teacher. You know, I say a motivational speaker makes you feel good, but the next day you're not sure why. But a motivational teacher, they make you feel good, but the next day you know why. And let me explain what I mean by that. You know, when you say, what was my interest? I became very interested in not only speaking, but developing resources for people. Putting a book in their hand, putting a CD in their hand, putting a DVD in their hand. In other words, I realized that speaking without leaving resources would always shortcut their path to growth. And so my interest was in developing resources. I started developing resources. They were not really good in the beginning, but they were the best I had. But it was to help people. I realized that if I could put a resource in their hand, I could change their life. And that's why, I mean, that's why we're doing this lesson. That's why we have these lessons for you, it's to put them in your hand so you can take them and grow from them. And then number four, to grow yourself, you must know the following, and that is your opportunities. What are my opportunities? What's the opportunity in front of me? And by the way, let me tell you, do you know how you get more opportunities? Walk through the door of opportunity you have now. Because what happens when people walk through the door of opportunity, they think on the other side is the promised land. Very seldom is it the promised land. When they walk through the door of opportunity, what they do is they find another door to another opportunity, to another door of another opportunity. Very seldom do you walk through one door and get it all. You've got to walk through a lot of doors. But you have got to begin moving through those doors of opportunity. What are the opportunities in front of you? What is the opportunity? Forget plural, singular, in front of you now. Again, time out quickly. A couple years ago when Paul and I talked about the John Maxwell team, and he talked to me and said, John, why don't we get a coaching company going? Why don't we start developing coaches all around the world? And all of a sudden, I said, here's an opportunity for me to leave my legacy. This is an opportunity to take my books and my values and put it in the hearts of other people and have that be passed on to others. Wow. Okay. To reach your full potential, stay right with me now, you must know where you are and where you want to be. That goes back to the map in the mall that I talked about. Here's where I am. Here's where I want to be. Now, I think some of my best teaching is going to happen in the next 3 minutes, and I want to kind of tell you ahead of time, okay? Because a lot of times I do my best teaching, and people don't recognize it. So I always want to make sure you know it, you follow me, because I don't want you to miss this. Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, some of John's best teaching is going to be right now. So tell him that. So because, come on, do it right now. I'm waiting on you. Hurry up. Okay. Here we go. Stay right with me because this is very important. I'm going to make a statement that I'm going to teach you off this statement. Figure out what you want to do before you figure out what you want to be. I'll repeat it. Figure out what you want to do before you figure out what you want to be. Now, 98% of all people do the opposite. They figure out what they want to be before they figure out what they want to do. So somebody says, well, I want to be a teacher. So they go to college to get their teacher's degree. Or if I want to be an engineer, so they go become an engineer. Now, this is huge. That's why, what is the number? It's like 70% of the people with a college degree don't use it all their life once they get out of college. Well, it's because they were trying to figure out what they wanted to be before they figured out what they wanted to do. See, what you want to be is an occupation. What you want to do is a passion. And never get the two confused, my friend. Don't get them confused. A lot of people do. Now, you say, John, How come you know this? I'll tell you how I know this. Because when I started out, I figured out what I wanted to be before I figured out what I wanted to do. I did it wrong. So what did I do? I was a young theologian in college, and because I wanted to be a minister. And I wanted to be a minister because what I wanted to do is add value to people. But I couldn't put my finger. I just said, well, I want to be a minister. You know, I want to help people. And then I wanted to be a counselor. I had a counseling degree. Then I wanted to be an equipper. Then I wanted to be a leader. And as every time I kind of went to another kind of thing I wanted to be, I kept saying, well, why am I wanting to be this? Why am I wanting to be this? Why am I wanting to be this? And every time it came back, because, John, you want to add value to people. You want to add value to people. You want to add value to people. That's why you're being these, because you want to be this so you can do that. Wow. I would encourage you to just call a timeout, maybe, I don't know, for a day, and ask yourself the simple question, what do I want to do? And then what do I want to be? And let me tell you, if the do and the be, don't do something until you know what the be is. The be should help you figure out the do. The do should help you figure out the be. I want to add value to people. That's what I want to do. Now that I know I want to do that, what am I going to be? What's my occupation going to be? Now that I know I want to add value to people, what am I going to be? Because there's a lot of things you can be in adding value to people. But there's only one thing you could do to be passionate about, at least for me, and that is to add value to people. So what I wanted to do had to determine what I wanted to be. Wow. This will help you in awareness and beginning to be aware of yourself. Now, there are three kinds of people when it comes to finding direction. People who don't know what they'd like to do. I know a few million of them. How about you? I know a whole bunch of people who don't know what they would like to do. Now, let me tell you something about those people, because they all have one similar characteristic that I've found. They all know what they don't like. They say, well, I don't like my job. Well, that's okay. I don't blame you for not liking a job. There's a lot of jobs I had probably I didn't like either. That's nothing wrong with not liking a job. I got a question to ask. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You see, not liking something isn't a reason to stop doing it until you figure out what you want to do. And I can run into all kinds of people. They can tell you what they don't like about life, but they can't tell you what they do like about life. And they can tell you what they don't want, but they can't tell you what they do want. Listen to me very carefully. I had a wise mentor, Elmer Towns, many, many years ago, look at me and said, John, don't leave a place. Go to a place. Don't leave a place. Well, I don't like my job. They're going to quit. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Yeah, but I don't like my job. Don't like my job. Just they're going to want to quit. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do you want to be? Don't make the mistake of leaving something because you're unhappy before figuring out what's going to make you happy. Don't leave a place. Go to a place. Now there's another group of people, and these are people who know what they want to do, but they don't do it. Now, this one baffles me, so I don't even want to talk about it, because I'll go berserk on this one. I mean, in other words, they know what they want to do, but they don't pull the trigger. And I don't, I have no understanding nor patience with this kind of person. In fact, I walk into life and say, here, give me the gun, I'll pull the trigger for you. I mean, if it's just making the decision, pulling the trigger, bang, all right, go, you're on, take off. I have no idea why people who know what they want to do, don't do it. So we're not even going to go there, because I would need therapy if I talked about this very much. And then there are people who know what they want to do, and they do it. And these are the people that are fulfilled, and these are the people that grow. So how do you find your passion? How do you find your purpose? This law is all about awareness. Number one, letter A, you need the first thing is the need for personal awareness. Now, what does it mean to be personally aware? To be personally aware is to know yourself enough that you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, you know what you're good at, you know what you're not good at. In fact, in the book, I say the first step to positive change is awareness, and the second step to positive change is acceptance. You got to be aware, and then you have to accept. You have to be aware of what you do good, what you don't do good, and then you have to accept it. Now, the acceptance is all about responsibility. Because, for example, when I became aware that I had a couple of real good high gifts, I don't have very many gifts, but I have a couple. I'm not a multi-gifted person. Some people are multi-gifted. I'm just amazed by people who can do a lot of things really well. I can do a couple things really well. But once I realized I had a couple high gifts of mine, then what I had to accept was responsibility for those gifts. After I got excited about the fact that I was highly gifted in a couple of areas, I had to say, okay, now, John, what are you going to do with it? You're responsible for it. Second question. Do you like what you're doing now? Because there's a relationship between finding your passion and reaching your potential. There's a major relationship between those two. Finding your passion, reaching your potential. Letter C, third question, what would you like to do? I'm helping you be aware. What would you like to do? If you could be anything you wanted to be, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you be? What would you do? Question number four, can you do what you would like to do? In other words, are you any good at it? Let me give you an example of that. You know, I love to play golf, and let me tell you what I'd like to do. Paul, I don't know if I've ever told you this, buddy. I'll tell you what I'd really like to do. I'll tell you what I'd like to be. I would like to be on the PGA Tour. In fact, I would like to have been in the Ryder Cup this weekend. That's where I'd like to be. I would like to be. If they would have had me in the Ryder Cup, the United States would not have lost. Okay. So what I'd like to be is a PGA professional golfer. I'd like to be on the tour. And I'd like to make $5 million, too, doing it, plus $50 million in endorsements. That would be okay. All right. Now that I get to tell you what I like to do, I have a problem, folks. I've got a problem. And the problem is I'm not gifted in golf. Trust me. I've seen my swing. I'm too close to my ball after I hit it. I'm not gifted in golf. So it doesn't do me any good to say what I'd like to do or what I'd like to be if I'm not any good at it. And I watch people every day. They're not any good at stuff. And they'd like to, it's like me telling you I'd like to be a ballet dancer. A body like mine shouldn't do ballet. It should do a belly smacker in a pool. So can you do what you would like to do? That's a huge question. Because if you can't do what you'd like to do, then don't get your heart set on it because you aren't going to be any good at it. Next question. Do you know why you want to do what you'd like to do? That's a motive question. People all the time say they want to be a leader. I say, why? Why do you want to be a leader? Do you want a parking place? You want a corner office? You want to make money? You want to be in front of everybody? You want to tell people what to do? Or do you want to add value to people? Why do you want to be a leader? It's a motive question. Next question, do you know what to do so you can do what you want to do? Wow. This is a great question. You have to start with what you know. When people say, well, wow, I want to get started, what should I do? We'll start with what you know. Well, I don't know much. Well, whatever you know, start there. Because if you start with what you know, it will lead you to areas that you don't know. And then you'll learn how to do those. Well, for example, when I knew I wanted to start a company to help train and resource people, called it Enjoy, many, many years ago, in the 80s, I had a conference. I said, okay, I want to have a leadership conference. So I had my first leadership conference in Kansas City. 17 people registered, Paul. I lost $3,000. Didn't start off very good. We were with our buddy Andrew up the other day. Hey, in Winnipeg, and Andrew had 700 his first leadership conference, and he said, "Man, I wanted to have 1,000." I said, "Andrew, be encouraged. I had 17 at mine. You know, buddy. You're a lot better than I was." But I started with what I knew. I had a conference in Kansas City. I had 17, lost $3,000. But I learned from that, and it helped me with the next conference. You fail your way forward to success. And so start with what you know. Just start with what you know. I knew that I wanted to train people in leadership, so I started the Maximum Impact Club, a monthly CD club for leadership. I didn't know that it was going to literally get into the hands of hundreds of thousands of people, and I was going to become a mentor, a leadership guru to people all around the world. All I wanted to do is just help a few people. You start with what you know. Okay. Paul, I'm in trouble. I'm going to fill in the blanks real quick. Okay, Paul, you're laughing at me. You didn't help me at all. You didn't tell me to stop. You didn't tell me to jump off the top.
I've been
enjoying.
I've been
I've been threatened by death on the team Facebook page. They've all told me. I'm a dead man. So.
Oh, so you're a coward too, huh? What do you want to do, Paul? Do you want to live for another day, buddy? I want you to live another day. I want you to live a few more years and help me with these coaches, okay?
We can be a good follower.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've been a good follower. Now I'm in the blanks. Number one is awareness, which means becoming very conscious of every choice you make. Number two is action. The major difference between those who do it and those who don't do it is those who do it, do it. I love that. Number three is accountability. This should be shared accountability with a friend, a coach. And four is attraction. What kind of people are you attracting? Are they like-minded for success? Okay? Now, letter G, do you know people who do what you'd like to do? Great question. Because if you know somebody do what you like to do, you want to go sit down with them. I've had, as many people know, I've had what I call learning lunches. I've had an intentional lunch with somebody every month of my life for 40 years, of where I go to lunch with them and I just say, I need to ask you some questions. And when you sit down with a person that you would like to ask questions, let me just give you some real quick thoughts. Number one, get committed. In other words, if you have to, pay people for their time and advice. That's what I did. I started off paying people $100 for 30 minutes of their time, and that's when I was making $5,000 a year. Just get committed. That's why I don't feel bad for anybody that never grows because they're unwilling to pay a price. Growth should cost you something. Number two, be consistent. Meet regularly with somebody if they can help you. Number three, be creative. Learn from people if you can't meet them. Now, how did I learn from people if I couldn't meet? By the way, 99% of the people I wanted to meet, I couldn't meet because they didn't know who I was and they didn't want to meet me. They didn't know. I was nobody. So what did I do? I read their books. I read some of these people's books for years before I ever got to meet them. Number four, be purposeful. Prepare for every interaction. Don't wing it. Don't wing it. And my guideline is very simple because I've done this all the time. 2 hours of preparation for every hour of interaction. So if you're going to have a one-hour meeting with somebody, have 2 hours of preparation. Ask good questions. I know that's how I got to the heart of John Wooden, who was my mentor for several years before he passed away, because the first time we had breakfast together, we were having breakfast just doing some sports talk about UCLA, basically. And I had a notebook with about 6 pages of questions. And we talked maybe for 20 minutes. I said, Coach, I said, I just love hearing you talk about your UCLA teams and things, but I don't know if I'll ever have any time with you again. And I got some questions. Could I ask a few questions? He said, sure, young man, go ahead. I love to call me a young man. I pulled out my notebook, and I started asking questions throughout the rest of breakfast. When we got done with breakfast, he said, you know, you got a lot of questions. You haven't got them all answered yet, have you? I said, no, I don't. He said, well, come on over to my house. We went over to his house. 6 hours later, I was done. And I looked at him, and I was now I'm I want to see him again. I want another chance to ask him more questions. But I just can't find it myself to ask him because I thought, man, I've already taken 6 hours of his time. So I shook his hand and I thanked him for his time and I said, you'll never know what this meant to me. And he looked at me and said, John, would you like to meet with me again? I said, oh, I'd love to, Coach. Are you kidding? I would love to. Do you mean this? Oh, he said, I certainly mean it. And then he said those words. Anybody that is prepared like you to meet with me should meet with me again. I walked out of that place sky high. I was floating on air. Preparation. Be purposeful. Don't just sit down with somebody that's bigger, faster, and better than you and just kind of wing it. I'm always kind of amazed, to be honest with you, Paul, when I have a lunch with somebody. I'll have lunch with somebody, and we'll talk about superficial things the whole time, and I'll think, boy, I wonder why they don't go deep. Wonder why they don't ask me any questions about how they can develop themselves. And, you know, I'm just always amazed. Don't blow those opportunities. Number five, be reflective. And use the same ratio for reflection. After you've had a time with somebody, listen, put 2 hours of reflection for every hour of interaction. If you had an hour of interaction with them, pull away and go over the things that you wrote down and have a couple of hours of reflection. And then be grateful. Just be grateful. That's huge. Be grateful. I am so grateful to the people that have mentored me. When I'm with one of my mentors, I mentioned earlier, so I can bring him back again, Elmer Towns. I call him E.T. affectionately. E.T. is going to be 80 here in a couple of weeks, and I love him dearly. I love him dearly. And whenever I'm with E.T., I always buy whatever we're doing. I buy the meal, buy the hotel room, buy wherever we are, I buy. And he'll say, John, let me get this, let me get this. I said, no, coach, you can't do this. You can't. You've mentored me. You've mentored me. You've got to understand. You have to understand. I will always have to do this for you. This is such a small, small return for the big things that you've given me. I've got to show you gratitude. You've got to let me have a tangible way to say thank you. Wow. Three other questions. I'll be done in 1 minute, Paul. We're going to open it up for Q&A. You're the boss here, buddy. Another question, will you pay the price? Will you pay the price to do what you want to do? I'm here to just say this one more time. Bet on yourself, would you, my friend? Bet on yourself. If a coach has the book, The Laws of Growth, bet on yourself. Buy the book. Bet on yourself. If the coach says, hey, I'm going to start a mastermind group, get in the mastermind group. Bet on yourself. If you wouldn't bet on you, why should anyone else ever bet on you? You should be the first one to believe in yourself. You should be the first one to bet on yourself. Another question, when can you start doing what you'd like to do? The great thing about personal growth is you can start it now. You might not be able to start being a doctor now if you wanted to be, but you could start now. And the last question, what would it be like when you get to do what you want to do? And I'm going to close by saying, I'm going to tell you what it's going to be like when you get to do what you want to do. You'll be the most fulfilled, happy person in life. And you know how I know that? Because for the last 1 hour and 38 minutes, you have listened to the happiest, most fulfilled person you'll ever know. I know him well. His name's John Maxwell. And I cannot tell you the joy that I feel, the reward I feel. I mean, I'm so proud of you coaches out there today. If I could, I would give you all a big hug right now and just thank you for extending my legacy. And I am so thrilled that friends of yours are there gathered together and you're thinking about perhaps growing and getting in a mastermind group. Let me just say this. You're about to start a journey of joy. Someone defined this to me one time, as gave me the best definition I've ever had of growth. Many, many years ago, Paul, they said growth is happiness. I believe that. Growth is happiness. And I want to encourage you to start this wonderful journey that will have and give you happiness every day of your life, personal growth. Thank you for letting me teach you for this time today. It's yours, Paul.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, John, we do have a bunch of questions. Beforehand, first off, thank you so much. You could have been teaching this lesson to any Fortune 100 company in the world, and you chose to spend tonight with your coaches and their friends. And what a gift you have given all of us. So thank you very much, my friend. That speaks
That's
to
my
your
joy.
Character. It speaks to you. Well, it is your joy, and it's your character, and it's your integrity. I remember when you and I sat down, you said that you wanted to be a river, not a reservoir. That if you were gonna build and equip a team of coaches, that you were gonna give it everything you have, and you have tonight. So thank you so much. Also, for those of you who are on the line and you're listening, the person who has invited you to this call has been trained by John and his team. They've either graduated or they're coming to February for graduation. If you think tonight was powerful, the person who's invited you to this mastermind has had John pouring into their life for months and months and months to equip them to help you. And we want to encourage you to join their mastermind group. And when John said that he believes and values people investing in themselves, those are not just hollow words. When I was talking to John, I said, John, I would just love for us to be able to give the people an incentive, you know, to give them an incentive to join a mastermind group. So this is what John and I have decided to do. Everyone who's on this call tonight and joins one of the mastermind groups that our coaches are going to guide you through this book on. We're going to give you a link and a username and passcode to the Day About Books seminar that John taught in June. John, I'm going to just ask you in a second just to kind of talk a little bit about how meaningful that day was and how powerful it was. But this, for those of you listening, this was something that we wanted to give you to add value to your life. We will get the username, passcode, and link to the coach who invited you to this call. We'll have that to them at the close of business on Thursday. And if you'll enroll in the next 48 hours, and why wait? Do it tonight. Do it tonight. We're going to go ahead and give you access to that seminar. We had 750 people from all over the United States and I think 16 different countries at the venue, and we sold thousands of these links to people to watch it. And we'll give you access to that seminar for 30 days. Featured in that seminar, of course, is John, but also Michael Hyatt and Charlie Wetzel. John, do you want to just say a little bit of something about that day and how powerful that teaching is?
Well, as you know, Paul, I never did this before. And when you asked me to do a conference on my writing, I never had shared why I write and how to write and the rewards of trying to help people by getting something printed and published. And it was magic. Anybody was there. Hundreds of people were there. It was magic. And when I finished that day, I thought, remember when I started the lesson today, Paul, and I said, this book is a piece of me? When
yes.
I finished that conference that day, I felt to those who came that I gave them myself more than I had ever given to any conference, because
wow.
My writing is who I am, and it's what I think, and it's what I feel, and it's what I believe. It's putting my journey on paper. And when I finished that day, I thought, boy, I hope I helped them with writing. I think I did. They seemed to be very excited about it. But I knew when I got done that day, I gave them myself, which is perhaps maybe the best gift I can give. It's the only gift I really have to give, is me and who I am. And so when the people get this seminar, when you told me the other day, you told me you were going to do this, Paul, when we were in Canada. You remember how thrilled I was.
Yeah.
This was your idea. It wasn't my idea. But I thought, that is a gift. You know, people paid hundreds of dollars for that.
Yes,
and for people to become part of a mastermind and be able to have access to this. Once they get access to it, can I tell you something? They'll be glad that they joined a mastermind group without even going to the mastermind group yet. They'll just say, oh, my goodness, I had no clue. I had no clue. So you have just given people a tremendous blessing, and it was a highlight of mine. And I'm so glad you're doing this. I think it's the right thing to do, because what we're really saying, Paul, to the people here today is your growth is very important to us, and we're going to do everything we can to get you in a mastermind group. Why? Do we profit from this? Not at all. Not at all. There's nothing that comes back to you and me. Why do we want a mastermind group? Because this is the way they're going to grow the best. So this is a great offer, and I'm telling you right now, it's worth hundreds of dollars, and it's yours free for just being part of a mastermind group. I'm glad you did it, Paul. I think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you. And before I get to questions, if you are the father of this book, John, then I think I should be the uncle, because – I don't know if you'll remember. I don't know if you'll remember this, but Kelly and I had to go to your house that morning the morning John said that he woke up and went down to his office at 3 o'clock in the morning and wrote till noon. My wife Kelly and I were at your door. We had to drop something off at your house, and you were like, it was Christmas morning. I remember you, and you said, come here, come to my office. And you had the handwritten notes, you were working on the outline that morning. So I feel so privileged, because I got to see this book in its embryonic stages. So somehow, you know, I'm not asking for royalties.
yeah, you are.
Let's go to some questions. These are coming in from all over the world. From mastermind groups, the first question is how does someone inspire someone who has just kind of been beat down, and they're not really allowing themselves to work in their passion and their gifts, and really don't believe that they even have enough to start into a plan of growth.
Well, first of all, my friend Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, one time told me, he said, John, you know how you know people need to be encouraged? I said, no, Troy, how do I know that? He said, if they're breathing, they need to be encouraged. So, when the person asked the question about their beat down, there are a lot of people that are beat down. And so, number one is just care for them, love them, just be a friend of theirs. That's number one. But after you've loved them and cared for them and been a friend for them, be a special friend. Let me define a special friend. A special friend is a friend that loves people unconditionally, but can also help them. And what you do with this person is after you love on them and care for them and help them emotionally get through their dark time, then get real practical with them. Say things. You've gained their trust now. Say things that they need to hear. Things such as, this is where you seem to be gifted at. Let me help you get there. Offering your assistance, offering your support along the way, giving them some good advice. What I have discovered is this, that a lot of people want to take this journey, but they don't have the confidence to take it alone. And what they need is another person. I don't know of anything that can be more valuable to you than to be able to say, I helped another person get on the right track. I often say leaders never cross the finish line first. That's for people who run alone. They don't have to wait on anybody. When leaders cross the finish line, Paul, they have somebody with them. So take somebody with you. Take them across that finish line. That's what I would encourage you. Just encourage them. Believe in them. Unconditionally love them. But then say, hey, can I walk with you? And then take those simple steps of walking with them. And I think that you'll find yourself to be very rewarded for that kind of response.
And that's what you've equipped your coaches to be able to not stand behind somebody but right beside them. Here's one from Deb. She said, "How will I know when I'm competent enough to help someone else grow?"
Well, you know, Deb, you get confidence. You get confidence from.
I'm sorry, John. Competent. How do I know when I'm competent enough? Not competent.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Good. Competence and competence, both, are a result of having gone through the journey yourself. And so when I say you want to help somebody grow, start growing yourself. Guess what? You become confident in the fact, oh, I'm growing. I know where I am today, where I was yesterday, or where I was a few months ago. But it also, you learn. And as you learn, you get better at it. You get more competent at it. I mean, what I'm good at today, when I started, I wasn't good at all. In fact, here's what I tell people all the time. I say, people, when you look at my gifts, like in communication, you say, dear God, the guy is gifted. I wish they could have heard me when I started, Paul. I wasn't good. I wasn't any good. Trust me. I wasn't any good. And yet today I'm good. Now how did I get good? By doing this hundreds and hundreds and now thousands and thousands of times. So competence, confidence, nothing gives you that more than having some experience and evaluating that experience and becoming successful out of it. So what I would say to people all the time is, and you say, well, I've not taken that journey yet. Then here's what you do, Debbie. Say, take the journey with me. I don't know how to do this myself, but I'm going to learn how to grow. Hey, let's read the 15 laws of growth together. I'm not going to teach you. Let's learn together. Now, the moment you put yourself on the playing field with them, that encourages them, and that takes you off the hook to be Mr. or Mrs. Answer Man on everything.
Right.
So say, take the journey with me. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. I have found that to be a beautiful way of getting people around me to help them develop and grow. So I think people want, they want companionship as much as they want competence and confidence. And so offer to take yourself on the journey and then go with them on it. And I think you'll find it to be very rewarding.
And again, we want to encourage you to enroll in the mastermind study with your coach who invited you to this call. Joyce asks, does growth come before finding out one's purpose, Or does one first have to find one's purpose or mission and then deliberately and intentionally seek growth in the areas that will help you fulfill your purpose?
Well, that, you know what that is. That's a chicken or egg question.
There you go.
It is. And I love the question. And the answer is yes and yes. It isn't one thing. It isn't like I figure it out and then I can go and grow. Or it's both. So what you know on, do. It's, remember I talked about planning. It's nothing wrong with planning. Just don't think planning is going to get you there. Planning is just going to get you started so you figure out while you're taking the journey how to get there. So it's not one or the other. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and. And I don't even think it's one before the other. I've known people who just took off and then learned as they went. I've known people who kind of held back, learned, and then took off. But you want to do both. You want to be. Here's what I do know. Here's a huge thought. As you're traveling and as you're going, resources come to you that only come to you while you're moving. Mm. And once you stop, the major resources respond in like manner. They stop too. So never. Yes. I mean, I've run people, Paul, and I say, well, I didn't have the resources, so I'm just going to wait until I get the resources. Now I say, the resources don't come to you while you wait. The resources come to you on the journey.
Yeah. Do the thing, you get, and you get the energy. Yeah.
That you got it, Paul. That's exactly right. And yep, you got it, my friend.
Mary Beth writes, and this is so good. Throughout your growth, were there people that you outgrew? And if so, how did you deal with them maybe not appreciating your growth or you know, kind of maybe trying to hold you back or not supporting you in your growth as you outgrow?
Oh, that's a great question. And in the laws of when you get, there's a law of environment that you'll read. It's one of my laws. And I talk about that specific question there, but let me just quickly say this. If you really start growing and developing, there are a lot of people you hang with today you won't hang with forever. Trust me. Now, here's what's interesting. When I started growing, two things happened. One is all of a sudden people who weren't growing, they didn't interest me much anymore. I just thought, dear God, you know what I mean? It's the same thing every time I'm with them. There's no new thoughts, no new ideas. I mean, it's just going to be the same. And so I became kind of desirous of moving away from them. Not that I disliked them, but they didn't interest me anymore. But here's what people know. As desirous as I was to move away from them, most of those people that weren't growing were desirous to make me average again. And it's like my friend told me who on the Eastern Seaboard catches crabs. He said when you put two crabs in a container, a basket, they'd never get out. You don't even need a lid on them. I said, what do you mean lid on them? They got pinchers, they can crawl right out of that. He said, one crab won't let the other crab get out. If one crab starts to climb out, it'll pull it down. And as soon as he said, I thought to myself, shoot, I know people like that. And can I tell you something? When you decide to be above average, you'll make average people extremely uncomfortable. And what will they try to do? They'll try to get you average again. So when you decide to go on a personal growth journey and develop yourself and reach your potential, you got all the kind of people who are never going to reach their potential who will try to bring you back down to their level. And you can't let that happen. You cannot let that happen. So, by choice, I decided to climb out of the basket. And there were a lot of people clawing and a lot of people pulling. But I determined that they were not going to be accountable for my potential, but I was going to be accountable for my potential. So I wasn't going to let them determine what my potential was going to be, because they were never going to have to answer to God for it, but I was going to.
Wow. Thank you, John. There's 12,000 people on this call tonight, and if you're on this call, then chances are there's something that's emerging from your soul. You're aware of something you want to be, do, or have more than you have in your life right now. And you're intentional about being on this call, we want to encourage you to join the Mastermind group. Get back in touch with the person who invited you to this call and sign up and really dedicate yourself and intentionally place yourself in an environment conducive to your growth. And that's what this Mastermind group will do. John Elias writes this question. When you first started out your ministry, you were very intentional about getting interviews with business and ministry leaders, even though you had little money to fund those interviews. You said that you paid $100 to be able to ask questions. What advice would you give a young person starting out now to help them become intentional with their personal development, even if they don't have the money or the money seems to be a challenge?
Well, first of all, the money was a challenge for me. First of all, let me just say this. I'm not telling everybody else what to do. I'm just telling you what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like to go 3 years and never eat at a restaurant. I didn't have any money, Paul. I didn't have any money. And the money I had, I bought for books, conferences, and meetings with people that were successful. Now, I'm not telling anybody else what to do, but let me tell you how I got to those people. I was a kid. I didn't have any money. And when I said, I'll give you $100 for 30 minutes of your time, they couldn't get away from my passion. In other words, I was saying to them, I'll do whatever I got to do to have an audience with you. Do you understand? I have to see you. I have to ask you questions. It was my passion. It wasn't the money. It was my passion. The money was nothing but an outgrowth of the passion that got their attention. And what I have discovered is, if you won't be denied, you won't be denied.
Mm.
And so when people say, well, you know, I just can't get there. I can't do that. And see, remember, what do? I talk about two questions all the time that people ask. First question is, can I? The second question is, how can I? The first question, can I, is filled with doubt, fear. Can I? Can I do that? I wonder, can I? Maybe not. When you go from can I to how can I? See, the question wasn't can I in my life. The question is how can I?
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. So how am I going to do this? And let me tell you, if the $100 didn't work, I was going to figure out another way. Trust me, Paul. I was going to see the people I needed to see to ask the questions I needed to ask so I could get the information I needed to get. And that's why when I run into people who kind of just, well, you know, I just can't get that done. I don't mean this unkindly. I want to look at him and say, my friend, when you would die for something, when you'd be willing to give up everything for something, guess what? You'll get it. But you won't get it as long as you're trying to bargain your way to success. You can't bargain your way to success. You can't wait for discounts to get to success. You can't window shop yourself to success.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Amy Wells is leading a mastermind group, and she is a young man there. And he said, his question is, I had a dream to play in the NFL, but now I'm injured, and it breaks my heart. How do I get my heart back? Will a new dream come, and how?
Well, a new dream will come, but you're asking a great question on how to get my heart back. And to my friend, I would just say simply, you don't have a problem with not getting to the NFL. It's a fact that you're not going to get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a problem is something you can do something about. A fact is just life itself. And you're not going to get to the NFL. Now, I'm not trying to be callous. I'm just trying to say to him, the sooner you'll deal with that fact of life, not that problem, that fact of life, the quicker you'll be able to go on and say, then since I can't go there, where can I go? Here's what happens all the time. People get a door closed for them, and they assumed it was the only door in life. So they stand by the door, and they mope, and they try to pull it open. They try to get a crowbar and pry it open. And they say, wow, but the door is closed. The door is closed. Can I tell you something? Walk away from the closed door. You're going to find down the hall there are other doors, and some of those are cracked open for you. Go to the doors. Trust me, my friend, the only reason you're not going to the NFL is because God has a better plan for you.
Right on. Alex asks, can you tell us about one of your failures on the road to personal growth that assisted you to continue on the journey, that kept you in the game?
Well, yes. Let's talk about my speech, because, you know, people know about my ability to communicate and speak, and they look at me and they just, I mean, I've written books on it. You know, I just got the Gavel Award from Toastmasters for being a good speaker. But when I started off as a pastor, so let me just go to, I mean, I could give you 20 stories, but I'll give you one. And in my denomination, if you wanted to go to a church that was open, you would go for what they called a trial sermon. A trial sermon means you go in and you would preach. The people would listen to you. If they liked you, they would vote for you to come and be the speaker. So I went to Maysville, Kentucky, and did a trial sermon. Didn't get that church. Wanted to go to West Jefferson, Ohio, and try out. They didn't even want to hear me. I went to Shoals, Indiana, and I spoke. Didn't get that church. Are we starting to get the picture, Paul?
Yeah.
I was speaking, and nobody wanted me. Nobody wanted me. Now, why didn't they want me? I wasn't that good. In fact, if I could hear myself, I wouldn't vote on myself either. Now, what did I do? I kept going until I found a little church with about 20 people in it, a country church that had been broken down and split many times and was just a remnant of what they one time were. And those people were so hurting that they picked me. They just said, dear God, we're bad and he's bad and we're going to make it together. And they picked me and they gave me my chance. So when I run into people, I say, well, you know what, I tried that, it didn't work, I tried that, it didn't work. I said, well, that's the story of my life. I very seldom have I ever got what I wanted the first time. I've had to go back and rework it and redo it and to get better. Now, I've grown over those years to where I am today as a speaker, but trust me, the rejections, the disappointments, the closed doors have been 10 to 1 for every wonderful invitation, for every wonderful open door.
Wow. Well, John, my friend, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight and for pouring into all of our lives. And I know if I could open up these lines, your coaches would be giving you a big shout out. So thank you so much. And I'm going to just make one more announcement and then allow you just to make a final comment. Again, we want to just encourage you, if it's been a while since you've taking inventory, as Zig Ziglar would say, from, you know, doing a checkup from your neck up, and you've inventoried, if it's been a while since you've inventoried your potential, Mastermind Group is a great way for you to take that next step. If there's something that's emerging from your soul that's in your awareness and you know you want to be, do, or have something, and maybe it's in your business life or in your personal life, a Mastermind Group is an awesome way to be able to connect with like-minded people. That's your next step. Anyone who joins one of the Mastermind Groups with one of our coaches in the next 48 hours to study this book, we're going to go ahead and give you 30-day access to the Day About Book seminar that John did with Michael Hyatt and Charlie Wetzel. It's a phenomenal, we only had John for 2 hours tonight. This is a six-hour seminar, professionally video shot, with a workbook and everything right online. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. So we want to encourage you to connect with the coach. John, I'll give you the last word, my friend.
Well, my last word is very simple. To my coaches, I love you deeply. I want to thank you because you are taking the values and the principles that I know bring success, and you are sharing them and teaching others that I'll never touch. And to you that are in the call today and you're thinking about a mastermind group, I don't need to talk to you about it anymore. You know that this is a step that will make a difference in your life. And as you join one of the mastermind groups with the coaches, let me just say this. It will be my joy and the coach's joy for the next few weeks to impart life-changing personal growth laws into your life that will never let you be the same again. So remember, growth is happiness. Let's take this happy journey together. I love you, and I thank you for your time tonight. You're special.
Thank you, John. We love you too. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, coaches. You guys rock. Thank you. Good night, everybody.